Every second, over $3,000 is being spent on pornography, and over 28,000 people are viewing porn online. Sexual brokenness is devastating lives and families, both locally and globally. I'm Jonathan Daugherty, founder of Be Broken Ministries, and our mission is to heal sexual brokenness, by God's grace, one story at a time. Did you know that for every $9 donated to Be Broken, we reach over 50 people with the message of hope and freedom? Real lives are being changed for the better through this ministry. Will you help us broaden our message to even more individuals and families that are affected by pornography and sex addiction? Your gifts are tax deductible and allow us to continue providing a safe place for hurting people to heal. To make your generous year-end donation, go to BeBroken.com or call toll-free 1-800-49-PURITY. Again, that's BeBroken.com or 1-800-497-8748.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Daugherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, good. Well, folks, we are closing out year 2011, which is just amazing to me. I find it hard to believe that this year has gone by this quickly. If any other listeners out there that think life gets faster each year, it seems like time just keeps speeding up. Anyway, it's been a great year. We've seen some really neat things happen. We had 81 men come through our Gateway to Freedom workshop and saw some really neat transformation there. We've got lots of listeners throughout the world in over 80 countries worldwide that listen to the podcast of the radio program. We've also been able to just hear, you know, countless stories of people's lives, been able to direct people to groups and counselors nationwide. And we're just so grateful for all the folks that have partnered with us throughout this year and even before for many years, financially and otherwise. And we just wanted to ask you, as we approach the end of this year, if you would consider making a year-end donation to the ministry to just help us start out 2012 strong. We are so thankful for the opportunity that God gives us each and every day to touch lives and to listen to people's stories and give them a safe place in which they can begin the healing process. So if you would like to partner with us, just go to puresexradio.com, and then right there on the homepage, there is a little link that says make a donation, and you can click on that and find out all the ways that you can partner with us. Well, Stephen, I'm going to pass it off to you. I'm excited about this broadcast. There's some neat things that we're going to talk about in here in terms of the spiritual stages, I guess, that we can go through, the stages of faith. And so I just want to pass it off to you, and you can kind of introduce this book that you've been going through, and then we maybe can talk about some of these stages and how they even apply to the sexual addiction recovery process.
Thank you. When I was in school, we were challenged with this thought, how do you integrate theology and psychology? You know, how do you get somebody's emotions and their spirit, how does that all work together? And, you know, I wrote some kind of paper that said something sort of smart that the professor wanted to hear, and then I got a grade and went on. But I really have struggled because I find a lot of great research and information about managing emotions. And then, you know, you read the scriptures, it says the heart is wicked, and, you know, and you hear pastors say, well, don't trust your emotions, you know, they'll get you in trouble. And it's funny because there's a lot of real cognitive people out there thinking from their head, but they're disconnected from their heart. And it's like the best ministers are passionate. They are from the heart and the head. And then you hear about a minister that's so godly, and then he does something stupid like have an affair or messes up. And you go, what was happening emotionally? He sure had his head on straight from a spiritual standpoint.
Yeah, and I think that's what we see with folks who come to us with sexual addiction. So many times they've got incredible knowledge.
Yes.
And their lives are a mess.
Like biblical knowledge.
Absolutely,
you mean,
right? Yeah.
Spiritual knowledge. They know the truth. They know verses. They know their Bible. They can find things.
That was my story. I mean, I had all the right stuff in my head, but I sure had a very confused, warped heart.
So that's been the challenge to me and the mystery to me, if you will, is to figure out how to merge them together because people come in with emotional woundedness from their past. And how do you work with them and you know, use spiritual principles to help the healing process as it moves along? So I'm always listening and looking for resources that help this integration, and I stumble upon this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And how would you say that last name? Or
Scazzero?
Okay, so it's S-C-A-Z-Z-E-R-O, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And we don't necessarily recommend all the books. I'm working my way through this one. But he's got some really good ideas in here. That I came across this one chapter. I said, Jonathan, we got to do a podcast on this. This is too good because it explains stages of faith. And I think it talks about major challenges that we deal with. And as I was reading through it, he didn't really develop this material himself. He gave ownership or development to another book called The Critical Journey, Stages in the Life of Faith. And he just pulled this material from that book and used it in his book to explain it. So I know we're talking about a lot of book titles here, but the process that he maps out in terms of stages of faith, or that are mapped out in terms of stages of faith, I thought were really helpful. And so just in a general sort of way, what was your response to this, Jonathan? What did you think after looking at this material?
Well, when we were off air, I mean, when we were going through this, I immediately saw parallels between this and the sexual addiction recovery. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But that was kind of my gut reaction was, man, these stages of faith, they actually parallel addiction recovery, which then I thought, well, maybe that's the point.
That's good. Well, and so let's go through these, if you will. Well, I wanted you to do a little bit of the reading and the outline, and we could comment on them.
And he lists in here, he lists six stages of faith, this sort of journey of faith. And the first stage that he lists here is what he calls life-changing awareness of God. And he says, in this stage, whether in childhood or adulthood, it's the beginning of our journey with Christ as we become aware of his reality. We realize our need for mercy and begin our relationship with him.
So let's just talk about that a minute, because what does that mean to you in terms of, I like the way he said this too, because it's childhood, you know, even as children, you know, we hear about God and believe in God. And then in adulthood, as we mature, we believe deeper and we act on that faith.
Well, I like the choice of his words of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a point in everyone's life in which there's an awareness, and the awareness is kind of two-pronged, I think. There's an awareness of this eternal God, this creator. There's an awareness of him, and in light of that, there's an awareness of our need for him. And I think that's what's kind of wrapped up in this idea of awareness of God. is, okay, I become aware that there is this holy God who created the universe. And in light of him, I realize I'm a rebellious man. I'm a sinful man. I'm a broken man, or woman if you're a woman. And so to me, there's this awareness, and it's like, what do I do about that? And that's where we discover Christ. That's where we discover this great gift that God has given us to be made right, to be in relationship with him, to know him. And so I think that, to me, that's kind of what it means, that whole idea of awareness of God being stage one.
Yes, and I'm reminded of a line from the movie Rudy, where the priest in there turns to Rudy and says, after all these years, I know two things. There is a God, and I'm not him.
Yeah.
And I think in stage one, that's what you realize. There is a God and that made this beautiful creation, and I'm not the God.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that starts a whole process of seeking after.
And that really gets to stage number two. So stage one is this life-changing awareness of God, but then stage two is discipleship. And this stage is characterized by learning about God and what it means to be a follower of Christ. So we become part of a Christian community and begin to get rooted in the disciplines of faith. So this next step is about discipleship. And so, Stephen, what is your response to that? What do you think discipleship looks like? How do you think that fits into this?
Right. He uses three key words: learning, following, and rooted. So, you know, I think about, I was raised Catholic, and so there's always been an awareness of God and a respect for God and a sense of knowing God. And then I went to college, and I discovered a group of individuals who were in a Bible study, and it took on a whole new meaning in terms of depth, following and awakening at a deeper level with the disciplines of reading your Bible, of going to a group, of holding each other accountable, challenging one another, loving one another with Christian love.
Yeah, it's almost to me like discipleship is a process of deeper awareness, kind of realizing, oh, you know what, God in his love for me didn't just want to save me from hell. He actually wanted to give me life, give me purpose, give me meaning, even give me work to do. It's like,
yes,
he wanted to fill me, not just save me. It's like he wanted to just empower me to make me something that I never could have been on my own. So it's like discipleship is that process of realizing there's much more to salvation than simply being,
saying, yes, I'll be your follower, or just, you're saying,
it's
making,
like,
initial commitment?
It's like, wow, you mean God doesn't just want to save me from hell. He actually wants to, like, know me. He wants to use me. He wants to fill me. He wants to give me life. It's like
grow me. Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
it's this process of learning so much more about what this salvation actually means.
Yes. And, you know, my journey took me through several different denominations and different churches and different views. It's just amazing how much I've been exposed to on this mission to learn to be a disciple of Christ. You know, because it's like, okay, God, where are we going now? And it's wide open. What's ahead? Whatever his will is what's ahead.
And I think you touched on something really good there that I think is really important. That's one of these parallels between the stages of faith and the stages of recovery, is that idea of being a learner.
Yes.
You know, too many times, whether it be in our faith or in our recovery, we think there's a point at which we stop needing to learn. Like, hey, I've arrived. Okay, I've figured everything out. I know everything I need to know about God. Why do I need to keep, you know, exploring and learning? Which is a foolish statement. It's also foolish to think that in recovery. You know, I'm done learning. I mean, I've learned everything I need to learn about purity, right? I've learned everything I need to learn about relationship. And it's like, no, you hit on that. Mm-hmm. That's a very good concept, I think, for our listeners to really grasp, is that discipleship is about being in a posture of learning. We're continuing. We're always a learner as a child of God. We're never going to get to a place where we say, oh, I completely have God figured out. I have completely...
Isn't that interesting? Because I think that's part of the mystery of life. The mystery of what God gave us is that we have a brain that will continually learn, and we're on a journey of maturity where we will learn differently, different things, and we are in a world that's so full of beauty and intricacy and detail and just the whole idea of like gravity, mm-hmm. just the principle of gravity, and to understand some physics about how things work. And I was looking at the fall leaves, and two trees had grown together, and one's leaves were totally red and the other were totally green. It was just the most amazing thing. And to be able to, as a follower, recognize that this creation was put there by the Creator, and we have been given the ability to learn all of our lives. Mm-hmm. That's part of the mystery of being alive.
And I think, and again, I see such a great parallel between that in our faith and that in our recovery from addiction. The idea is, if we can realize that, you know what, I'm on a continual journey of learning about, purity, learning about relationships, learning about trust, all these kind of things that are so essential for recovery, I can know that I can keep going deeper and deeper and deeper in any one of those things. I can keep learning what it is to trust more. I can keep learning what it is to be more pure.
Yes.
Because if any one of us think that we've gotten to a place where I'm as pure as I could possibly be, we probably need to look in the mirror again and say, wait a second, there's always a shadow somewhere that we are...
And he's always peeling back layers, right?
As
we go through life. Just when, it's funny. I say, I could be a great 20-year-old. I got that down now. I could be a good 30-year-old. I could do that now, but I'm way past that. Forget it,
Well, that's funny.
So stage number three.
Yeah, and before we do that, I do want to also make one, because we were talking about maybe making parallels here. The stage one in the faith journey is about this life-changing awareness of God. I think the idea of stage one in recovery would be that same sort of thing. There's an awareness. There's this idea of a waking up that says, you know what, the way that I've been living my life is not the way that I'm designed to function best. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And so then that stage two is the discipleship, the learning, and same thing in recovery. Stage two is sort of there's a learning. There's a discovery process of, well, what are the ways in which you live in purity? Then he gives stage three here in this faith journey, and he calls it the active life. This is described as the, quote, doing stage. We get involved, actively working for God, serving Him and His people. We take responsibility by bringing our unique talents and gifts to serve Christ and others.
Yes, and you know what jumps out at me is this doing, this working, this involved, this serving. Because I think first we're learning, and then in the church we quickly get pushed into doing. Okay, why don't you join this? And why don't you sing with the choir? Why don't you go be one of the host ministers or an usher? Why don't you, we need you to work in the nursery or the children's ministry. We need you here to get going and doing. And so, I mean, that's just a natural thing I think that happens is, one, while we're learning, we also have to get involved and be doing.
And I kind of, he lists six stages here, and I sort of wish he'd just stop with this one. Unfortunately,
that's easy, huh?
Unfortunately, you and I have both lived long enough to know that this isn't how the stages stop. There's always deeper challenges. And I would even say that the parallel of stage three with the recovery journey is that after you've been growing and you've been learning and you've been discovering how to live a life of purity, how to set up boundaries, how to have accountability, those sorts of things, then I think there is sort of a doing stage. You begin to, quote unquote, do purity. You really begin to do that. And sometimes it even means you start to give back in a sense of maybe starting a group, maybe, volunteering at a ministry, whatever it may be. But then there is stage four. Stage four is where he interjects this wall. There's a wall that goes in between stage three and four. And he calls it the wall and the journey inward. And he says, notice that the wall and the inward journey are closely related. The wall compels us into an inward journey. In some cases, the inward journey eventually leads us to the wall. Most importantly, remember it is God who brings us to the wall. What do you picture, Stephen, when, I mean, other than a wall, but what do you picture when you hear that, the wall?
Yeah. Yes, an object that will not move easily. Mm-hmm. And so let me clarify, because we have a little diagram in front of us that the listeners don't have. And so we're going along these stages. So stage one, two, and three. So stage one is we are aware. And then stage two, we become disciples in training. And number three, we're doers. But then somewhere along this, like serving in the church, we hit this wall. And I want to separate the wall because I think he says stage four is where you go inward. But you got to have this wall. They almost go together. The wall challenges you to go deeper. So what is the wall? And in our scenario, I was looking at this material. I was thinking, if somebody's developed a sexual addiction, that's the wall. They're not going to go any deeper in their faith, even though they believe and they're in training and they're doing. They've got an inner secret, and they're building all that on this foundation or this wall of shame, lies, deception, you know, sexual acting out behavior. And until that wall is crashed in and broken, we can't go to the next deeper stages.
Yeah, it's kind of like that's wall number one. Because one of the things we were talking about off air was that, you know, there's multiple walls that we actually face, whether it be in our faith journey or whether it be in recovery.
Mm-hmm,
there
yes.
are these walls. And I think what you're saying is sort of that initial wall is a guy or gal getting to a place where it's like, I'm going to expose my secret. That's a wall. That's a huge wall of being able to get past that fear of being known in that way. But then as we progress forward, let's say that person then begins this recovery journey, or let's say you're on your faith journey, there's this other wall that comes up. And it's like a wall of whether or not you're going to continue on the journey. I really think, Stephen, that there are a lot of Christians that have been stuck for years in stage three. They're active, they're doing, but they have no inner growth. There's not a deepening of their intimacy with God. There's not a deepening of that dependency and connection. It's gotten locked into the activity of...
Yes, and that's the purpose of the wall, is to make us look inward deeper and grow more mature inwardly.
And you had a great list of some things that could potentially be a wall. I think that'd be helpful for our listeners to kind of get a picture of what would some of those walls maybe look like that would cause a person to have to take a look and say, I need to go deeper on this journey. I need to have kind of this inner journey.
So I think this journey applies to everyone. We're talking to individuals that have constructed their own wall of sexual secrecy. But if you didn't do that, say I'm talking to a spouse right now or someone else that doesn't have a major sexual struggle, what other walls would drive you to a deeper dialogue with Christ? And so I think one would be your individual self-worth. Because if you see yourself as defective or bad or odd or different, unlovable, you have to go and have a dialogue with the Father about, is this wall going to define me, or are you going to define me? So that's number one. Number two, what if you have a marriage that's really not very satisfying, and you find yourself kind of stuck in a limiting marital situation? That's a wall, and you got to go to the Father and talk about it. What if you find yourself in a job that where you're not going to be promoted, or the company's not going to grow, and you're kind of stuck there? It's not the ideal job. You don't have much pride in the job. It's just, it pays the bills, but there's no vision. There's no dream there, but you got to do it to pay the bills. Or what if you go to a church where the minister's not that healthy, and you end up there, and And it's like, okay, God, I need more depth, and he's not willing. He's divided. He's got secrets. But God can still grow you even in a week, you know. And I'm going to trash churches. I don't like to do that. But sometimes unhealthy people get in leadership, and then we're stuck there with them. Or what if you've lost your parent? You know, what if your child got sick? What if your spouse gets sick and you hit that wall? Deeper dialogue required.
Yeah, and I think the parallel to recovery here is that we see it happen a lot of times, usually in kind of the 9, you know, to 12 month period, where a guy's been going through recovery and he's been setting up good boundaries and he's quote unquote doing purity and he's doing well in his recovery. And then he hits this wall where there's this discovery or this realization that he has to make a choice. Am I going to embrace the fact that this is a lifelong journey of growth and a lifelong struggle? Or am I going to try to set up some idea that if I just go through a program, I'm done, I've graduated? And I think that's a wall. It's a wall for guys to go to a deeper inner journey that says, I've got to grapple with the fact that I'm a human being that has a particular weakness in the area of lust. And am I going to be willing to fight this battle for the rest of my life? And you know, it's one of those things where it's like, wow, I gotta embrace that. I've got to acknowledge that. And then that's where he gets to stage 5, where he calls it the journey outward. He says, having passed through the crisis of faith and the intense inner journey necessary to go through the wall, we begin once again to move outward to do for God. We may do some of the same active external things that we did before, remember in stage 3 of the active life, but the difference is that now we give out of a new grounded center of ourselves in God. We've rediscovered God's profound, deep, accepting love for us. A deep inner stillness now begins to characterize our work for God. I love how he describes that.
Wow, I love that. That is powerful. Profound, deep, accepting love for us by our God. Who doesn't want to be profoundly loved, deeply accepted, surrounded and loved by your God, and such that the only thing we can do in response is have this inner stillness, quiet all the inner noise, accept that profound love.
Yeah, and I really believe that unless we go through the wall or try, you know, go through these experiences where we hit the wall, we can't be really grounded in our faith. We really can't be grounded in a peace that comes unless we go through those experiences.
Right, and I think we're kind of shallow, actually, because mm-hmm. we can just say all the simple things, you know, that God will heal you. Well, you know what? He doesn't heal everybody. I mean, he takes you home. Yeah, it's healing, but God is not like a dog on a leash. Heal now, God. Heal somebody. Do what I tell you, God. No, God is a mystery, mm-hmm. and God does what God wants to do. And so sometimes we say very simple things when we need to be more profound and say deeper, wiser things. And going through walls is one of the ways you get wiser.
And I love where he ends this up. Stage 6 is transformed by love. God continually sends events, circumstances, people, and even books into our lives to keep us moving forward on our journeys. He's determined to complete the work he began in us, whether we like it or not. You know, I love that because I like this because it parallels perfectly with recovery. Nothing will actually transform your life except love. Mm-hmm. Nothing can do it. Rules can't do it. Steps can't do it. Programs can't do it. And so the ultimate transformative power that is going to change our lives from being sexually addicted individuals to being those who walk in purity is love. And so I just love that this is like the complete wrapping of the package, that it's love that's going to transform us. And then that love is going to compel us to do acts of service, not out of duty, but out of love.
And he says, moving forward, right? Not being stuck, moving mm-hmm. forward on our journey, our individual journey, your personal journey, to the point of completeness, being made complete and whole and perfect, and enjoying that stillness of being in his presence. That's the challenge.
Well, we're out of time, but we'll be back here again next week, and we're always available online and through our toll-free number of 1-800-49-PURITY. We'll see you back here again next week.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.